My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
The liberal globalist order is at its brink and awakening a new conservative age. I'm Dr. Steve Turley. Join me every day as we discover answers to today's toughest challenges and explore the revitalization of conservative civilization. This is Turley Talks. Ouch. I mean, ouch! That freaking hurt. What happened yesterday was a gut punch, no question. It was brutal. I ain't going to sugarcoat this. And I just want to dive right in here, gang, because we could see the problem as clear as day. That's the good news. We actually know what happened yesterday. It's absolutely clear. All the data points in one direction. I'm going to show it to you. We can most certainly fix this in time for the midterms. But we need to make sure we really understand what really happened yesterday. Thank God it happened now and not in 2026. It was a godsend that we were given this election yesterday to show us exactly where we need to put our house in order. I mean, seriously, can you imagine if we were caught that off guard in the midterms? I mean, so talk about a blessing in disguise. Let's start by putting all of this in context, all right? What happened yesterday and what we cannot lose sight of was that four solid blue states, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, and California, and I would even include Connecticut in that, my old stomping grounds. Connecticut had several local races yesterday. So five solid blue states that all voted for Kamala in 2024 continued to double down on their left-wing absurdities. Okay, don't lose sight of that. That's exactly what Steven Cruz over at PJ Media pointed out this morning. Yes, it was a brutal defeat for the GOP, but my stomach ain't going to be twisted into knots because people who voted to send the country down the leftist toilet last year are continuing to do so. Woke, progressive, liberal states are going to fulfill their job description. By contrast, Texas had an election yesterday as well. Nobody seemed to be noticing this. Texas had an election. It was a ballot initiative on a constitutional amendment requiring proof of citizenship for all voters. Gang, it passed overwhelmingly. While at the same time, over in Democrat-infested Maine, they actually rejected voter ID requirements. So again, big picture here, red states are going to do red, blue states are going to do blue. There's no way around this. Our nation has become a polarized red-blue standoff, and the good news is that there's more red states than blue states. That's why for 4 years they were trying desperately to import millions of new voters at the southern border. They know they are in the minority at a national level. They know that. So that's the big picture, the aerial view, as it were, of what happened yesterday. Blue states went all in on their blueness, and then some. But if we look more closely at the data, we can see how Republican weakness in blue states actually extended in almost, you know, collateral damage-like fashion into purple states like Pennsylvania and Georgia. Not only did Pennsylvania vote to retain all three of their liberal judges on the Supreme Court, but Democrats flipped two Georgia Public Service Commission seats for the first time in decades. That's an office that's specific to Georgia, and it's been dominated by Republicans for two decades. So we saw the fallout from yesterday extend beyond the borders of blue states. And this was the big one as well. We'll need to be talking about this in the coming weeks. The polls once again blew it. The polls blew, and we're talking even some of the best pollsters out there. And then ironically, they blew it in favor of the Republicans. That's definitely something you don't normally see. The New Jersey governor's race, which we've been very closely tracking. I mean, we've been getting on the ground data from Cliff Maloney, from Scott Pressler. All the polling showed that the race was a dead heat. It was well within the margin of error. We're talking Trafalgar, we're talking Atlas Intel, Quantum Insights. They all predicted that this was going to go down to the wire. And when it was all over, Democrat Mikey Sherrill trounced Jack by 13 points. Jack Cittarelli, of course, by 13 points. I mean, it was a blood. In Virginia, it was even worse. The Democrat Spanberger ultimately won by a whopping 15 points. And ironically, that is precisely what provides the data and the key demographics for understanding what really happened yesterday. Again, this was a godsend in terms of us realizing this now so we can prepare for the midterms and crush the Democrats 1 year from now. What we saw, particularly in New Jersey, was almost an exact replica, an exact replay of what happened in that Wisconsin Supreme Court race that took place several months back. Do you remember? This is the one that Elon got really involved in. And if you, it was a race, you have to get elected to their state Supreme Court. And it was a race with Republican Brad Schimmel. And he got massive turnout. He actually got more votes than the Democrat candidate got back in their previous Supreme Court election a year earlier when the Democrat beat the Republican by 11 points. So we knew we had an 11-point deficit going into that race. And Brad Schimmel, the Republican, overcame that 11-point deficit. In the same way, Jack Cittarelli actually got more votes than the Democrat, Phil Murphy, got back in 2021, the last time Jack ran. So Jack crushed it with Republican turnout. He did exactly what he needed to do, just like Schimmel in Wisconsin. Crushed it with Republican turnout, did exactly what he needed to do. So what happened? What's the problem? Well, the problem, like we saw in Wisconsin, the Democrats came out just as much. They met the Republicans vote for vote. But then here's the key. They were able to turn out left-leaning independents. If it was just Democrat turnout versus Republican turnout, Republicans would have probably won. They would have pulled it off. But Democrats amassed a coalition with left-leaning independents to give the Democrat an extra 10 points in Wisconsin. So while Jack got 100,000 more votes than the Democrat Phil Murphy got back in 2021, Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat, got 400,000 more votes. So the obvious question in all of this is, if the Democrats have been able to exploit left-leaning independents, the question is here is, are there right-leaning independents that can enable the Republicans to do the same thing? And the answer to that is yes, absolutely. In fact, they're even bigger and more formidable than left-leaning independents. So what's the next question? Where were they? Why didn't they show up? Well, we know, and that's exactly what we're going to find out. But first, if what happened yesterday upset you as much as it did me, Now is the time to get proactive and take charge of your own financial future. Meet Block Trust IRA and their amazing Animus AI. It's a revolutionary crypto solution that's rewriting the rules of retirement investing like never before. This isn't just another investment platform, gang. It's a lifeline for families desperate to break free from future financial uncertainty. You all know I'm a huge fan of techno-populism, of how digital technologies like crypto are freeing us from the constraints of liberal industrialism and the gatekeepers that oversee it. Well, since 2020, Animus AI has done what seemed impossible. It's outperformed Bitcoin by over 250%. You're not going to find yields anything like that in your old dusty portfolio playbooks. We're talking about a technology that works tirelessly, analyzing thousands of market data points to detect opportunities no human trader could ever spot. And for the first time ever, it's now available to ordinary Americans like you and me. And the best part is that Block Trust IRA combines the tax advantages of an IRA with the growth potential of crypto and the risk management of an AI-powered trading platform. This is not just investing. This is generational wealth protection and flourishing. That's why I'm a client of Block Trust. I love them, and I know you will too. We're standing at a crossroads of a financial revolution. The question isn't whether you can afford to invest differently. It's whether you can afford not to. Don't just survive retirement. Thrive through it. Go to TurleyTalksCrypto.com right now. Book a consultation with their crypto AI experts. Your family's future is waiting, and it's time to take control. Now, gang, in a word, the problem for the GOP in off-year elections. That's one of the key patterns here. So we're talking, you know, midterms, we're talking state elections like we saw yesterday. The problem with the GOP, like we saw in Wisconsin, Jersey, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and the like, is in a word, turnout. That remains the fundamental problem with the GOP. They have a turnout problem. Not in terms of turning out Republicans. That's the good news, okay? They're coming out more than ever. That's the good news. The problem is that Republicans alone, like Democrats alone, can no longer win elections, particularly in contested swing states like Georgia and Pennsylvania. Now, we saw this, of course, in the midterms, when all the polls showed that the GOP was going to absolutely crush it, but the Democrats held that off. They still lost, but they certainly didn't lose by much. And they did that by bringing out their left-leaning independents. And, of course, we saw it play out in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race last year, and we saw it in the off-year election yesterday, albeit, again, in predominantly blue states, states that voted for Kamala. But it's all showing the same problem. The problem is fundamentally turnout, and it's turnout among right-leaning independents when Trump is not on the ballot. That's the key. So this is this off-year and midterm problem. And in fairness, this is exactly what our good friend Rich Barris of the People's Pundit has been warning about, like the canary in the coal mine, for the last several months. He has been polling these low-propensity, right-leaning independents for months now, and he has sensed danger. Okay, so low propensity, meaning they don't often come out to vote. They are all America first, hardcore populists. They despise the establishment. They hate it. They hate foreign wars. They hate our obsession with the Middle East. They hate big business. They hate an establishment that seems far more interested in their own values and concerns than those of the little guy, the average American. They despise establishment Republicans every bit as much as establishment Democrats. You have to get that. They're not coming out to vote for Democrats, but they're equally not coming out to vote for Republicans. Remember, this is not a horizontal divide, left versus right. This is a vertical divide, the people versus the permanent political class. These are the ones who came out in mass and put Trump over the top. They gave Trump the biggest landslide win for Republican in two decades. When Republicans come out in force, and then when the right-leaning independents come out in equal force, we are an unstoppable coalition. They love Trump. but they despise Republicans. Seriously now, Republicans have been in power for almost a year. Just ask yourself, what precisely have congressional Republicans or the Republican Party as a whole done for these voters? What precisely has the Republican Party done for them? Zippo. I mean, if we're honest, nothing. And this is what concerns Rich Barris so much. Trump himself hasn't helped in this matter. Yes, he shut down the border. That, and there's the mass deportations. They love that. But, you know, okay, but what do I do with my cost of living crisis that I'm facing? Inflation is still too high. Food prices are still too high. Affordability is still a major problem. And the establishment is seen as completely and totally aloof and dismissive of those concerns because Ukraine, because of the Middle East. Did you see this? Here's all you need to know. This is fascinating. This will summarize, I think, for you the fundamental problem of what happened yesterday. There is a thing, there is such a thing as a Trump Mamdani voter. It came out yesterday in the data. This is absolutely essential for us to get, especially in terms of who it is. There were voters yesterday who voted for Trump back in November of last year, and then overwhelmingly, those in the city turned around and voted for Mamdani. Case in point, look at that stat. Mamdani won with an astonishing 40-plus points with young men. I should say by an astonishing 40-plus points with young men under 30. You heard that right. That's the Charlie Kirk demographic. And they flipped from Trump to Mamdani in numbers comparable to how they flipped from Biden to Trump by 40-point swings. And Robert Barnes explains why. Quote, a wake-up alarm bell if anybody in the White House or the GOP is actually listening. If you fail to deliver on right-wing populism, you will get left-wing populism. If you fail to deliver on right-wing populism, you will get left-wing populism. Because populism doesn't care about left-right. It's not horizontal. It's vertical. It's the people versus the aloof political class. And they will go with the populist leader they believe is going to most effectively take on that class. We actually just saw something very similar across the pond happening in the Netherlands election just days back, where the population basically shifted from the right-wing populace to the left-wing populace. We see this all the time in Europe. The establishment is dead. There is simply no way around this. The neocon, neoliberal establishment, both Democrat and Republican, is dead. Now, we've talked about this ad nauseum on this channel. It's literally dead everywhere, all throughout Europe. It's increasingly dead in Latin America. We just saw it in Japan, where they now have their most, not just their first female prime minister. No, they have their most right-wing populist government ever since World War II. Everywhere we look, the old liberal globalist establishment is dead in the hearts and minds of voters. And now the only question that remains is if the national and state Republican apparatus, particularly the donor class and the advisor class, that's still overwhelmingly populated by Romney-Ryan Republicans, the only question is if they can finally and decisively be kicked the hell out of our party. I don't, not part, out of the network, out of the apparatus. They should not be in control of freaking anything. That is the only way we can finally get our party to adapt to the changing conditions now of this new populist era. It's not 1998 anymore. It's not 2008 anymore. The Republican Party structure, its network has to get totally revamped to come and to align with and adapt to this new populist era. And again, fortunately, we know where that starts. And it all starts with Trump. It all starts. Again, here's Robert Barnes' assessment on that. Tonight's results need to be a wake-up call to the White House and the GOP. Stop focusing on foreign affairs. Stop entangling us in endless conflicts and focus at home on bread and butter issues for working people. Bottom line, everything Trump and the Republicans do from this day forward must focus on making the lives of these anti-establishment, right-leaning populist independents, both white and non-white working class voters, Latinos, and Gen Z, particularly Gen Z men, better. Everything they do must make the lives of these right-leaning populist independents better. Not the Middle East. I'm sorry, not Nigeria. Not the White House ballroom. White and non-white working class, Latino, and Gen Z citizens. You focus on them. You make their lives better. You combine that with the get out the vote infrastructure that's already turning out Republican vote en masse. And you're going to have elections like 2024 repeated over and over again. That is the secret sauce. It starts with Trump and his crackdown on an establishment GOP network that has lost touch with the very heart of the MAGA movement. The disaffected populist independents that have given Trump the single greatest landslide victory for a Republican in a generation. We fix that. 2026 is in the bag. If you've ever wondered how we got to this point, this woke confusion about truth, family, and morality, you need to read The Abolition of Man by C.S. Lewis. I'm leading a 7-week live book study through it with our Courageous Patriot community, and I'd love to give you a free preview. You'll get the first episode and a digital copy of the book absolutely free. Head to turley.pub/abolitionofman and check it out. Trust me on this one. You're going to love it.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Turley Talks podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and share this episode with your friends. Help us defeat the fake news media and rank as the number one news and commentary podcast all over the world. Come back again tomorrow for another episode celebrating the rise of a new conservative age.